I'm Karen Given, filling in for Bill Littlefield. If you're an NFL player, what's the most cringeworthy thing you could say into a microphone?
Literally, I would, if I had a perfect place to die, I would die on the field.
That's where we're going to start on this week's Three Stories You Should Know. I'm joined by sports writer Eric Malinowski via Skype and WBUR Shira Springer. Welcome back to both of you.
Hello.
Thanks, Karen.
Shira, we're going to start with you.
Yeah, you just heard what Jamal Adams said at a fan forum in New York. He's a rookie safety for the Jets, and he feels that the best place to die would be on the football field. Now, this comes in the wake of a study where they looked at the brains of 111 former NFL players and found that 110 of them had the degenerative brain disease CTE. And not only that, Jamal Adams made his comments sitting next to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Can we just say awkward?
Optics.
And then people yes, applauded.
I know. And that was the kind of, you know, it gets weirder and weirder and weirder. And in fact, immediately after the event, when Commissioner Goodell was asked, well, what did you make of those controversial comments? He said, oh, Jamal was just showing his passion for the game. And what should have happened at that fan forum is Roger Goodell should have had like a John McCain moment. You know, remember when he stopped the anti-Obama heckler and said, no, Obama is a good family man. Goodell should have stood up at this fan forum and said, listen, we have a critical problem here. We have to take it seriously. Of course, this is like a fantasy world that I'm right. putting out here right. because Goodell would never acknowledge the true magnitude of the concussion problem. But, you know, they shouldn't just excuse it by saying this is a player who's particularly passionate about the game.
So we learned a couple of things. First of all, that Jamal Adams is not a subscriber to the New York Times.
Or any other major newspaper that put
right,
out the
exactly,
concussion
as well as
information.
Trending topics on Twitter or anything like that. We should say that Jamal Adams sort of tried to clear this up the day after, but then again, only after his head coach Todd Bowles told him to, quote, clear it up. I think we sort of tend to think, especially these days, about, you know, like generations that come after older generations of being sort of more enlightened or more progressive. But that evidently does not apply here. This whole, you know, alpha macho bravado that sort of, you know, has been entrenched in the NFL for decades, it's not clearing up anytime soon. In fact, you could even make a case that that kind of attitude might be stronger than ever.
I'm not sure that this sentiment is really the NFL's fault. I think that there is a deep-seated feeling in the game of football that football comes first, before your family, before your politics, before your health. And I think that that starts at a really young age. So unless we have every Pop Warner football coach, every high school football coach, every college football coach changing that culture, then by the time players get to the NFL, this is going to be their attitude.
I don't think the solution is necessarily going to come from the bottom up. It's very hard when you have the NFL, the focus of so much football attention, mm-hmm. for that not to lead the way. I think the ultimate solution may be the media attention that goes not only to Jamal Adams's comments, but to players retiring early because they have concerns about their own brains.
All right, Eric, you are famous on the interwebs for the adage, never tweet. So I'm eager to hear what you've got to say this week.
Absolutely. So yeah, anyone who follows me knows that the number one rule of Twitter.com is never tweet. You can never go wrong by not tweeting. Every day is a new opportunity to not tweet.
I like your philosophy.
Now, thank you.
I follow it all the time.
Yeah, I probably follow
it
more
on
than
a daily
I should.
Basis, but hope always springs eternal. But I just want to clarify that implicit in that is the freedom to tweet. So reporters covering Texas football are now not are forbidden from tweeting during post-practice interviews. Texas football coach Tom Herman has, not to go too far into it, but he has a little bit of a history with complaining about reporters and so-called inaccuracies. First of all, it's sort of a ridiculous, sort of untenable policy. I mean, there's no way that this is going to sort of last. But at the same time, I couldn't help but see the similarities to our current White House administration, which, you know, certainly does not hold press briefings with the same sort of regularity of past administrations. I just sort of wonder, is it sort of based on this sort of growing sort of inherent distrust with the media and how they disseminate information on social media? Maybe this is something we're going to start to see with other programs.
I actually think this strategy is going to backfire on Texas. And it already has, because people are saying, you know, what a self-righteous policy. And it is, isn't it? I mean, come on, telling journalists how to do their job, you know, and you just got here. Let's not forget that Tom Herman is in his first year as coach at Texas. And
way
this
to
is
make a good impression.
I was going to say, this is the fight you want to pick in August of your first year coaching the team.
You know, I have been in press conferences where everyone is so busy coming up with their next hot tweet that they have missed the most important moment of the press conference, or they have misunderstood something that has happened. And I totally get that we are going to chafe at the idea that this is a ban, right? Like,
yeah.
We don't like being told what we can and cannot do.
Particularly reporters, I
particularly
think.
Reporters. But I think in this age where it is really important that the media gets things right, that maybe putting down your Twitter machine for just a moment and paying attention to what's going on, maybe it's not a terrible idea.
Yeah, when I first read that, I wasn't sure if maybe my perspective was a little bit biased, because having covered the Golden State Warriors for the last few years, we have a head coach, Steve Kerr, who will literally announce something or whatever at the start of his press conference and then just sit there and be quiet. And like, you know, there's a beat. And he'll literally say, I'll wait for you guys to finish tweeting that out.
Yeah.
This is a continuum.
All right, let's transition from tweeting about sports to playing video games set in sports. EA Sports has announced that NBA Live 18, which will be released at the end of 2017, will include a full roster of WNBA players. And on the one hand, yay, a video game company is acknowledging that women play basketball. It's also acknowledging that women play video games.
What?
And I know. And also acknowledging that when men or boys play video games, they don't mind playing female characters. Does anyone
Shocking.
Remember Tomb Raider?
This is great.
I mean, come
I'm so
on.
Glad I'm sitting down in a second.
On the other hand, EA Sports is pretty upfront. They're not doing this because it's the right thing to do. They're doing it because NBA Live 18 is losing to NBA 2K, which I'm told is a much better game produced by a competitor. So does that ruin this story, or do their motivations even matter?
It ruins it a little bit. It does. I guess I give them some credit for being sort of, you know, a little bit transparent about their motivations. But I just feel like if this is really going to be like the sort of thing that is going to open up interest in the WNBA to sort of a whole different sort of generation and maybe a younger generation of fans, they're going to be reaping the benefits of that for years to come. If this is something that they're actually committed to, then I don't think that we can overstate sort of the effects that this could have popularity-wise down the line.
Okay, I'll admit I'm more of like a Pac-Man player.
Pac-Man's a great game.
Mrs. Pac-Man.
And I was going to say, there is Mrs. Pac-Man. But I think there's often like an invisible barrier to entry when it comes to women's sports. It's sometimes hard to get stats. It's sometimes hard to get just little news items. And so I think anything that helps propel the WNBA into the cultural mainstream is a win-win.
Right. I also think that anything that helps women's sports show that they are commercially viable really important in moving forward. So even though I do think that this is just a publicity stunt, and I don't own video games and don't actually plan to play any video games, I kind of want to buy this video game. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been WBUR's Shira Springer, who also contributes to the Boston Globe, and sports writer Eric Malinowski. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Karen.